Blog Talk Radio. Good evening, Kingdom citizens, and welcome to Let's Talk Kingdom with Katrina. So glad to have you guys on with us this evening. We have another phenomenal show, as we always do, every Wednesday at 6:30. We have the phenomenal Teresa B. Howell. She is a playwright and author, and she will be on with us momentarily. But you know how we always do. Let's open up with a word of prayer. Father God, we thank you and we honor you for another opportunity to come before you in prayer. God, we thank you. We love you. We praise you. And we ask you to be in the midst of this interview and on this station. Go through the airways and do what you do best. God, we ask you to bless our guests as she shares her story with our listeners, and bless our listeners as well. God, we ask you to forgive us, because if there is anything that was said or done today that was not pleasing in your sight, we ask for your forgiveness in the name of Jesus. So God, have your way as you always do, and we love you, praise you, and honor you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Well, let me read a little bit about Ms. Howell. Guys, I had an opportunity to research her, and she just has a phenomenal ministry, and I can't wait till she comes on to share that with you. Teresa B. Howell has several articles written about her literary works, such as The Huntington Post, CEO Magazine, UBAWA, The Herald Sun, The Observer, The Carolina Times, Urban Times, and Strawberry Light Magazine. She has made several appearances promoting her book series and play on Fox 16, CBS, and over 55 major radio shows across the country. She has been listed as Diamond's Literary World's Top 20 Books in 2016. She is an author, playwright, and is inspired by her faith, family, and close friends. She currently lives in Durham, North Carolina, with her husband and children. My God, my God. She is doing some great things, and she's got a play that's coming up here in the area. So without further ado, I want to bring this awesome woman of God on so she can tell you a little bit about herself. Teresa, are you on with us tonight?
I am. Hello.
Hello. Hi. Can you hear us?
Yes, ma'am, I can.
Great, great. And we can hear you as well. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing pretty good. So glad to have you on. Oh, my gosh. We're going to just dive right in because I know our listeners, I kind of posted some of your stuff out there on our Facebook page and our Twitter pages. But, I mean, that doesn't even begin to touch the surface of what God is really, really doing in your life, because you have a ministry called Walking in Victory International, correct?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. Well, kind of tell us a little bit about Teresa, who she is, and how you got started on this journey.
Well, it was a little by accident. Well, no, it's not. God
made it happen, but, you know, I thought it was by accident. it was one of those situations where it was a tragic situation that turned into a blessing. I had my grandmother passed away, and we were very close, and I considered her like my mother, and I didn't handle it very well. And my mother-in-law, who is now a pastor, but at the time she was like the youth pastor, came to me and stated that she heard from God, and God told her to tell me to write. And I said, write what? She said, I don't know. But it's going to be therapeutic for you. And he said, that's going to be your best bet right now to get over this pain. So I began to write, and I started off with nonfiction. I was very angry at that time. And then it just turned into, I plugged in a couple of characters, made it, you know, a little comedy here and there, along with the seriousness, and turned it into a fiction novel. And so that fact started in May 2016. And two to three months after, I was on Good Morning Virginia and Fox 16 and some other places. It's like the book just took off from there.
So let me ask you a question. So some of the characters that are in the book, are they people that kind of have characteristics or things that, you know, you may know, you know, kind of personally or haphazardly? Kind of tell us about the series and the people are the main characters that are in it. And then we're going to jump to the actual play you've got coming up.
Okay. So the name of the series is That Church Life. It's a trilogy. I never intended to write more than one book, but I left it as a cliffhanger, so readers got very upset. And basically it's a book pertaining to a female who, she's the next generational preacher in her family. Her father wants her to move to the throne really quickly, but she's not ready. She's suffering from depression, anxiety, and domestic violence. So the main premise of the story is how she overcomes the domestic violence, how she tries to move on with her life, but also, is she going to make her dad happy, or is she going to make herself happy? And so she goes through this journey that has a little thriller suspense with it, with her two friends. She finds out deep, dark past secrets about her dad, found out he wasn't the perfect preacher like she thought he was, and the story just continues. And it was one of those stories that, because it was so real and people could connect, it sold over 10,000 copies after the first year. So, they say it's a really good book, so I decided, since it had all this notoriety, that I would make it into a play. And so that's how the play journey began, like maybe a year and a half later after the book came out.
Now, did anybody ever come to you and say, like, hey, you're writing about me?
Now, I did have a couple of church members ask if I was writing about them. And I did have a few females, especially about the domestic violence part, on how they keep it silent in the church. That has been a big topic. And that has actually pushed me out there to talk more about it in the community. I'm actually supposed to be talking to the Durham County for a domestic violence forum in October. So it's become a real heavy issue, because a lot of women that are in ministry and church do deal with domestic violence, but they don't talk about it. It's become a hot topic, and I guess it's something that people are not usually talking about. And so the book brought that buzz about, and thus sparked the play, and now we're actually taping a web series soon.
Oh, wow. So what made you decide to do push it out into a play? How long did you leave it with the book series and then launch it out? Did somebody say, hey, you really need to, you know, turn this into, you know, a live theatrical play? Or kind of talk about what made you decide to go that route?
Well, actually, I was advised to make it into a movie because the way I write, the semantics on how I write, people mm-hmm. say that they can actually see it on screen because I'm very how can I explain it? I'm very descriptive. And so I was told that I have a gift to write, and it is like almost already into script form. So I did have someone help me. I got a casting company to come aboard and help, and she basically formatted it how a play would look, but mm-hmm. it's really everything from my book. So it's exactly, maybe a few sections that are not, but it's exactly how I wrote it in the book. Yeah, so it didn't take her that long to put it together. We did work on it for a couple of months before I did a casting call, and mm-hmm. I just stepped out on faith. I knew I didn't have money to make a movie just yet. So I said, well, let me try the play world and see how that works. And so that's why we started with the play first. And we have been blessed that every time that we have performed the play or put the play on, and we've done it in Durham and Fayetteville a couple of times, and it's going to Charlotte, it's been sold out.
So yeah, you guys are coming to Charlotte. I did post that out. Give our listening audience the date that you guys will be in Charlotte.
We will be in Charlotte October 19th at 7 p.m. at the Creek Church. I'm not really familiar with the area of Charlotte. I just know the pastor of the Creek Church is one of my friends. So I can't tell you which part of Charlotte that is. But it's a nice facility, and it's perfect for a play. It seats about 400 people. So we're just expecting as many as possible to come. Tickets are on sale on Eventbrite for $25. And we also have handheld tickets if people don't like doing business on the internet.
Yeah, because you do have some of those. They say, I'll get them at the door, and they wait to the last minute. So kind of tell us about your background, because as I was reading, it says that you have 2 master's degrees in education and leadership.
Yes, I have 4 degrees total. I went to a community college, got an associate's degree. I have my bachelor's in psychology, and then I have a master's in special education and a second master's in school administration. So I am, in the education field with all of these degrees, and I did go into school administration for about 5 years, but I got really burnt out, and when I realized that writing was my passion, I went back mm-hmm. into the classroom just to have that time and space to do what I need to do for the other side of my life. So, yeah. Education,
well,
that's fun. I've been in it for about 15 years now.
Oh, education is very important. So let me ask a question, because I know when you go to do you take your own cast with you, or do when you go to different cities, you do auditions first? How does that work? Because I know sometimes with a lot of different playwrights, when they have like a solid group of people that, you know, will go with them and travel, they kind of use those people. So how do you kind of do yours?
Yeah, I've kept the same cast members. It's because the play is so detailed, and there's so many. Well, let me just say this. My cousin is the director, Andre mm-hmm. Minkin. And that's another blessing. He's the arts person for Winston-Salem State, so he does all of their theater, and he's been in theater for about 30 years, and it just so happened he was my cousin. And so with him and with me, the duo, we are perfectionists. So it would be very hard for us to go to another city and audition people and monitor that since
mm-hmm.
we don't live there. So we just keep the staff that we have, and they've grown so much, and they've become such great actors that we really don't feel a need to find anybody else.
Oh, good. That's a good thing, because, you know, with the characters and the group of people that you have a chemistry there. And
mm-hmm.
so if you go, I'm pretty sure there's nothing wrong with maybe using local people, but if you've got a chemistry already, and a dynamic with the people that you that have been doing it for a while. You know, they feed off of each other. So trust me, I definitely understand that. I want to talk to you about your book, Delayed But Not Denied. When did that book come out? Because I read a little bit of synopsis of it on your website. And a lot of times people feel like that sometimes a delay is like God saying no. But I feel that, and I've not read the book, but I kind of feel that you're saying that just because, you know, you got a little delay, that doesn't mean that God is not listening.
Yeah, so it's about a love story. And it is, it's been out since February of this year. So it is mm-hmm. out. It has reviews, and it's I think it's one of the best, my best work yet. And some of the readers agree. But it is basically a story about a female who is married to a minister, and they got married young, straight out, fresh out of college. But when they got back to his hometown, she didn't realize that he was having a love affair with the first lady since he was 18 years old. And that
wow.
was like his first love. And so the meaning of delay but not deny, the delay was him giving her his heart completely. And so it shows the dynamics of what they have to go through to get him to lay flat on his face in front of God and say, hey, I'm doing wrong. And Lord, help me be delivered from this so I can be good to my wife. And so it also has some twists and turns. It's not just a quick, you know, my writing has some twists and turns in every book. So it's some things that you don't expect to happen. The first lady doing some stuff you don't expect her to do. And some people are doing, it's just one of those where it's kind of like a cliffhanger at the end, kind of, sort of. So I'm coming out with the sequel of that, and it is called First Lady of the Night.
Whoa. Oh my gosh. You got me intrigued on that one. So the next question. So are you looking at doing that as a play as well?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I see with that church life, the name That Church Life alone, you automatically put it into gospel, and people automatically think it's all just for church folks. But when you have a that says delayed but not denied, and you can name that as an inspirational play, you can get a wide variety of an audience. And plays like that can go to Broadway, whereas
yes.
plays that talk about religion won't, not unless I change the name. But still, it's a deep gospel play, so Hollywood and up north probably wouldn't have me in certain sections because of religion. So yes, delayed but not denied. Even though it's in a church setting, the topics that it talks about are not all church. So yeah, it's a page turner. That's all I need.
Oh, all right now. I can't wait. Oh my gosh, I've got to definitely order your series on that church life, and that one as well, because that one grabbed my attention more than the other ones, and I was like, I bet you this one's going to be good. Now you've got another one. Now is that a sequel of that called Pastor Delilah?
Now that's a whole another series. That's
is it?
That's something. Yeah, that's a whole another topic. And that one, too, has got plots and twists. And when you think about Delilah from the Bible, and then now,
mm-hmm.
now you're thinking about her being a pastor, you're like, how in the world did she get there? So, yeah, it's going to have people spinning because, yeah, I can't tell you.
and you know what? And it's so interesting because we see, you know, even now what's going on in the Christian community, you know, even – you know, back a couple of years back with, you know, a lot of pastors, you know, coming out of the closet and just, you know, just so many different things, you know,
mm-hmm.
going on, you know, and you know what I'm talking about. It's just so much that has been out
mm-hmm.
there. And for a lot of time, for a long time, you know, a lot of things, of course, because this church, it's been hidden or covered up. But we know
mm-hmm.
that God is a God that will expose, you know, those things that are not of Him. So do you get more of a response from non-Christians saying, you know, I know that, you know, has happened in the church, or I know that happens in the church, that's why I don't go? Or what is kind of some of the feedback from you get that you get back? I know what you get from the Christian community, I can just imagine, but what about those that are not Christians, that are not believers?
Because it has such twists and turns, people like that. They like that the next chapter, they don't know what it's going to be about, and it's not one of those stories that they can foresee the ending. Even as an avid reader, there are people that don't even read Christian fiction but will read my books because they know that it's going to be the unexpected. But in order to gain that audience, I had to get the audience of the Christian readers first. And they put the buzz out there, hey, you know, this book, although it's Christian fiction, you know, is one of those books that make you say, So that's how, you know, the cousin and the mother and people who don't even go to church started reading my books. Do they say this is the reason why I don't go? No, because in every book there's deliverance and healing. There's some form of coming back to God. So it's not a situation where I just tell you a bunch of church drama and I just leave you there. God is going to fix it in every one of my books, so I have to show that.
Amen. I love it. Now, what is your inspiration?
Life's experience. Life experience. The characters that I created in that church life, some of them were bits and pieces of other people's lives. Some of it were bits and pieces of my life, and I just meshed it all together and made a complete story out of it. But one could say that it is based on a true story.
Okay.
Based on some of the parts, yeah. I just don't want to.
Has anybody ever? I know. I was gonna say, has anybody ever said like, some of your stuff that you have is kind of reminds me of God, you know, because Greenleaf, everybody, you know, is, you know, has watched Greenleaf, you know, one episode of one season or another. So do you get kind of sometimes a comparison of that?
I do. So the good part about my book is that it came May 2016, Greenleaf had not hit yet. So when my book came out, it was, wow. And then when Greenleaf came out, it was like, oh my goodness, did she get this from Greenleaf? But I had already had my stuff out before Greenleaf came, so Oprah can't sue me either. I got my idea first. So she can't get me either. But I was told I do not watch Greenleaf for that purpose only, because I don't want to even fathom about taking anything from their show and putting it into my books. So I don't even know what it's. I was told that it was about one of the pastor's kids that was dealing with child molestation in the church, and it grew into something else. But my book is dealing with domestic violence in the church, and it grew into something else. So the only similarities is we're talking about a pastor and his kids and the things that have gone on with the kids, but it's two different topics. So.
Gotcha. So what was if so let's say I've got a playwright or an author to be or somebody that's listening tonight or may listen to the later broadcast, what would you share with them as far as getting started as being an author or getting started as being a playwright?
I would definitely tell them to do their research and find a mentor. I was blessed that Victoria Christopher Murray was my mentor along with Jacqueline Thomas. So I like went straight to the best authors of the authors in those categories and was able to get their assistance in writing and how to make my story be greater than what it was. Everybody doesn't have that opportunity. So you have to get with someone or research someone and you'd be surprised. You can just send somebody a message on Facebook, and they might answer and tell you yes. my audio books. I have Bonnie I can never say her. Oh, forgive me, Bonnie. But she's like the Beyonce of audiobooks. I didn't know her. I've heard of her work, and she's done mostly all New York Times bestsellers. And I'm not a New York Times bestseller, so I was honored and privileged for her to do my book. But it was all about somebody just called her and asked. You know, would you do this? This book has sold a lot, and we want to make it bigger and better. Would you do this? And she said yes. So sometimes you think that people are too high up to reach, but it's all a matter of instant messenger.
Well, I know that's right. And the great part about it is she did the voiceover, correct? She did the reading.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. She probably brought it to life, because that's, you know, you got people that just have that type of voice that can make the words just leap out. And like you said, because of, you know, the gift that you have to actually write them and make it so vivid that you can see even by reading, I'm pretty sure her voice even brings it more to life as well, you know.
Yeah, it does. And she's very well known in the business. She's done If Beale Street Could Talk, that book, On the Come Up, Blood and Bones, but like some really famous popular books. One of the books was just a movie recently. It was for young adults, and I can't remember the name. But yeah, she's known for like big stuff, and to choose like little me, I was blessed, because it was who knew that somebody would want to carry my book even further than what it's already gone, based upon their notoriety. So God has just connected me with some really good people and people in high places that are helping me spread the gospel of how to overcome domestic violence even more.
Oh, that's so wonderful. Now, what do you do on your downtime? Tell us just a little bit about your family, you know, your family.
Well, I don't really have downtime because I'm still working in the school system, and I do have children of my own that I have to, you know, look after and take care of and things of that nature. And then I'm all, you know, traveling, and then I talk to people like you on radio stations. I've done like over 100 radio and podcast stations, traveling to ensure that my books are still selling on Amazon and doing on Barnes and Noble and doing what they're supposed to do. So it's a lot of conversation. It's like it's straight from work, and then right on the phone I have to blah 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 for a couple of hours to promote a play or to push a book, and I'm doing it all by myself. I don't know how I'm doing it all by myself, but I am. I do have an assistant that's great, but it can be challenging sometimes. So and then the weekends is rehearsal for the play. So it's like Sundays when I go to church, after church, that might be some downtime. Might be.
Okay. Well, we're going to be praying that God continues. God gives you that downtime that you can definitely, you know, relax. Because, you know, of course, being, you know, as busy as you are, and trust me, I definitely understand how that is. Because I'm a wedding officiant, and so I'm traveling a lot too. But I do try to, you know, definitely make time for my family. But we're almost out of time. We've got like 1 minute left. So if someone that's listening wanted to get in touch with you to have you bring your play to their church, tell them briefly how they can do that.
They can contact me, send me an email, info@teresabhowell.com, or they can go to my website, www.teresabhowell.com. I am on all social media handles as Author Teresa B, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Awesome. Teresa, thank you so much for coming on with us this evening. I am so excited. I'm definitely going to be coming to the play, and I'll walk up to you and let you know who I am. And a good friend of mine is also, enough said, is going to be your MC for the that event. So I'm excited about that. I've worked with him a couple of times, so he is so terrific. So
he is, and he's been on the whole tour. So yeah, he's great.
He really, really is. Well, before we close out, I always ask my guests to close us out with a word of prayer. And I would be so honored if you would do that for us tonight.
All right, no problem. All right, Father God, we thank you for this interview. We thank you for the fellowship. We thank you for all the many blessings that you have given us today. We ask that you keep us covered as we go our separate ways. And for those that need assistance with domestic violence or any issue in need of deliverance, that they can reach out and touch someone and call them and feel comfortable to talk about their situation. We ask that you bless all the women out there that are suffering, all the women out there that have not come forward with their problems or have not escaped the situation. We ask that you give them the strength and the courage to walk away and get what they need from you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you so much for coming on. Guys, don't forget, we will be doing two more interviews in the month of October, and we'll also put Teresa's information out on our Facebook and Twitter and Instagram pages, so you definitely support. Teresa, thank you so much. We appreciate you coming on tonight. We love you, and keep it going, girl.
All right. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Good night, everybody.